Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For our God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. Officially, welcome everyone to your daddy's house. Remember, Pastor Paul used to say that. Welcome to your daddy's house. Welcome to the house of the Father. And welcome all of you also joining right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. We are located in Randallstown, Maryland. And I'm going to say it again. If you're within, a good 100 miles from us, why, you could make that trip. I'd say so. Amen. Come and be blessed. Come and hear the word of the Lord. Come receive something special, tailor-made just for you. Come feel the presence of God, God's love, and worship in person with the saints in Christ. Amen. It is an amazing atmosphere. The power of God is we're blessed. We might even be borderline spoiled a little bit, you know. But anyways, believe me when we say we take advantage of it. You know, by all means. And we wouldn't have anything less. I'm not trying to say we're better than any other church. I'm not trying to say that we're better than everybody else. No. What I am saying is that we enjoy the presence of God around here. And if the Lord wasn't in the midst of us, I've said this so many times, it wouldn't be for me. And I know you feel equally as the same. Yes? Amen. Praise God. I want to get into the word of the Lord right away tonight. And as we always like to do, we like to first start formally with a word of prayer. Shall we do that? Amen. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence, Lord, tonight to sing praises, Lord, into your name, to exalt you and to adore you, to worship you. And Lord, with a thankful heart, we want to say thank you for all that you do for us, how you care for us, Lord, how you take care of us. We thank you, Lord, so very much for your involvement in our lives. Every second, millisecond of our life, you are there. So, Lord, thank you. And as we study your word, Lord, here tonight, and as we read your word and we study your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will do all of the ministering. I pray, Lord, that your people will see you and not me. May they, Lord, hear your voice and not my voice. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name forever. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. I trust that you have your Bibles tonight. Yes. Don't come to church without your Bibles now. The digital ones also count. All right. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Amen. And when we're there, we're going to read a few verses. We're going to start in verse 12. All right. Excellent. All right, all right. I think that's most of us. Yeah. Let's read. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, But one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of us have read this verse?
Yes?
Okay. You know, as we study, as we study the New Testament, we come to notice, we come to the realization that the Apostle Paul's fingerprint is just about all over the New Testament. And I'm not trying to glorify him in any specific way. I'm not trying to say that he is the most important person in the New Testament, because he's not. I'm not trying to overshadow his authorship, right? Authorship? Yeah, we'll take that. His influence, per se. Nothing is going to overshadow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when we read his words in red, in things that the Son of God said. It's quite something. It seems as though when I start reading red letters on my Bible, I slow down a little bit. You know, and I try to soak in like everything. And I make sure I don't miss out anything. And it's just something that I do just subconsciously. It just comes natural. But in the eyes of the Philippians in Philippi, the Philippians considered the Apostle Paul a spiritual giant. They considered him what we would call today a powerful man of God, and which he was. When we read his letters and when we study the things that he has given to the church, they're quite amazing. The Holy Spirit, till this day, uses all of the literature that Paul has written to the churches. It is still very much applicable to us here today. Amen? And the Apostle Paul wanted them to know that he had not yet, even in the midst of all these revelations and even in the midst of all these great, magnificent things that God has revealed to Paul, Paul wanted them to know that he hadn't yet achieved his goal. He had not yet gotten the prize. Amen? Which prize? What goal? What are we talking about? The one that's mentioned in just a couple of verses prior. Let's go over to verse 10. Are you still in Philippians 3? Yes? We read verses 12 through 14. Let's back it up a little bit to verse 10. This goal here. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. I want to say right away, right here, right now. I look around right now, and I know most of us here in the audience very, very well. I would say that every single one of us here, every single one of us, we love the Lord. And we know who the Lord is. With that mentioned, I want to say that every single one of us should strive to become closer and closer to God. Amen. Why do I say that? Here you have a man who has received all revelation, all knowledge, could speak in the tongues of the angels, has powers. I mean, the list goes on. But yet, he hasn't reached his goal. He hasn't reached the prize. And he is still striving towards something. Amen? Do we understand what I'm trying to say? I'm going to be very bold right now and very candid. And I'm sure that all of you are going to understand. And if you don't like what I'm about to say, I ask you to please forgive me in the name of Jesus. But none of y'all are like Paul. Sorry if I offend you. None of you guys are like Paul. And I'm going to include myself. All right. I'm not even, boy, we're just going to leave it at that. But I'm working towards it. Amen. And yet this man, this powerful man of God, I know all of us might know someone who we might look up to who you think, wow, this person is heavily used by God. This person is a powerful woman, is a powerful man of God. The Philippians thought about Paul the same way, but yet Paul of himself says, I search, I seek to know him even more, and that same power that resurrected my Lord, I want to get to know that power. That power right there. He was still actively pressing on. He had by no means reached the final stage of his sanctification. And please, every single one of us, you would do yourself a favor if you would strive every single day to develop your faith, to develop your spiritual strength. Believe me when I say, God wants to go on that ride with you. He wants to be involved in this development, every single stage. It is not for a least bit something that is unattainable. Not for a moment don't you ever think that it's borderline impossible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Paul had experienced salvation. Paul's salvation occurred 30 years before he wrote this letter. 30 years before he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Imagine, in that 30 years of him walking with the Lord, in all the great battles that he faced and overcome, through the ups and downs, he was the very first one to say, man, I'm still working on it. I'm still not there. He had won many spiritual battles by that point, many of them, but yet he counted himself very small. He had grown much in those years, but candidly confessed that he had not obtained all, nor was Paul yet made perfect. As we read in our opening verse, in verse 12. In Philippians 3:12, in the very beginning, it says, not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected. But this is the beautiful part here. But I press on. I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid aside for me. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. All of us are going to be required to press on. To press on. I have started to implement this in the baptism classes that I am doing here. We are on our second Sunday right now of baptism classes. There will be a time in our spiritual walk where we're going to be on fire for the Lord, and I sense that everyone around the table in the baptism class is on fire for the Lord. And they're hungry for the Lord. And they want more of the Lord. And that is a beautiful thing. But we must maintain it. It is super easy for us to grow cold, to grow stale, to grow lazy. Just believe what I'm saying. Don't test it out. Don't try it out. Because that's a guaranteed success. That you're going to go, it's a guaranteed success. I wouldn't recommend you try it at all. Some people don't come back from that. You know, they don't turn around. But believe me, for you to press on takes physical and emotional and will, takes effort of our part. And your efforts are rewarded. It is rewarded more and more from God. You see, the Apostle Paul still had more spiritual heights to climb. It never stopped. And it will never stop. Amen? The enemy is not going to ease off on your situation, is he? The enemy is not going to be content up until he has utterly destroyed all that you are and guaranteed your loss. He is relentless. But equally, greater is he that is on our side than he that is in the world. That is a fact. And we must remain strong in the Lord through perils, through persecution, through ups and downs, through thick and thin. Amen? The Apostle Paul had gone through several downs and several ups, more than anything that we could ever imagine. And you see, this testimony of the apostle reminds the saints in Philippi, and it also serves to remind every single believer today, everyone today, that there must never be a stalemate moment in our spiritual growth, ever, or an obstacle beyond which we cannot climb. Please consider these words spoken right now. We must always, always continue on growing spiritually. You must always continue to feed your inner man. By all means, there is no mountain. I know there's a song out there. There's no mountain too high that you can't climb. There is no greater mountain out there that you can't overcome through the power of the Lord Jesus. Amen? And Paul pursued Christ-likeness with enthusiasm and with persistence, similar to a sprinter that is running in an Olympic race. Have we watched the Olympics? At some point or another, you get the best of the best. And once you gather all of the best of the best, then we gather the best of the best out of that crowd. And those are the ones, the elites, that get to compete in such a stage. Some of them, you could say that they are fearless. They don't know the meaning of fear or hesitation. You want to talk about, what's that word? Courage, but like steadfastness, you know, relentlessness, right? You find all those characters in an Olympian athlete, right? And it seemed like as though they have that mindset throughout their life. They don't know how to fail. They are overcomers. They look beyond an obstacle. They don't know the meaning of loss, right? They are some of the most driven people on earth. And this type of characteristic, or character, I should say, is exactly what Paul right now is describing to the Philippians. I run the race with a purpose, like an Olympian athlete. You see, unlike the Judaizers, they were around in that time, causing all types of trouble. The apostle did not claim to have attained spiritual maturity, and he wanted more, and he wanted more, and he persisted, and he was still pressing on, as he says, pursuing that for which Christ Jesus took hold of. specifically for him. Nor had he yet taken hold of it. He had not yet attained perfection or ultimately conforming to Christ 100%. But one thing we gotta give Paul credit for, and that was his determination. He was determined that he would forget everything that was behind him and, like a runner, press forward towards the goal. Why do I have this part here in this message? I have started to notice as of late that a lot of problems that I have been praying for as of late, many of them, and when I say many, I'm going to say the majority, have all stemmed from things that happened in the past. The past is coming back to harass the men and women of God to the point that is crippling them. And that cannot be. You cannot allow that to happen. You just can't. If the Apostle Paul, we're going to call him right now, for lack of terminology, we're going to call him the spiritual giant, right? The Apostle Paul, in all that he was spiritually blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, was striving forward and actively leaving everything that happened to him in the past behind. It ultimately means that we could do the same. What happened in the past is in the past, and you can't change the past. The Lord is in our future. Your purpose, your meaning, amen? Your destiny, your blessing is still ahead of you. And let me just make something perfectly clear. Who makes you today is not what happened in the past. Let me make that clear right now. Because the world loves to say that. You know, in such a prideful manner, they love to quote the fact that who we are today is, I am who today because of my past, my strong, and I'm tough. I don't think so. Who you are is what God has set aside for you to be, and that's what you ought to strive forward or look forward to develop to what God wants you to be today and moving forward. Amen. Amen. I bless the name of the Lord for the battles that have been won. I bless the name of the Lord for the experiences that I have had in my life, negative and positive. I bless the name of the Lord that He has taken me through thick and thin. And today I can stand and minister the Word of God and serve the Lord with all of my heart and serve the saints and be a blessing and fight the good fight of faith. But more importantly than my past is I look forward to who God will have me be in the future. And you should also as well. This is not something that is just secured for the pastor or the co-pastor or the leadership team or the people that have been set aside. It's for every single one of us. Forgetting the things from the past and looking forward for the future. For what God has for us. Amen? In plain terms, the Apostle Paul refused to be controlled by his past. He refused to be absorbed by what happened in the previous past. And we all know Paul's past, right? Prior to him becoming the spiritual giant. Let me bring your attention right now to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I guess you could put it up as the saints turn over to the page. We're going to go to Philippians 3. We're going to read verse 5 all the way to verse 7. Philippians 3, starting in verse 5, says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He's speaking about himself now, if you are unclear right now. Concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, he even went as far as persecuting the churches. That's how zealous he was. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for the Lord. You see there? All these things that he did was rubbish. All these things that he did, all these works, all these things that he was doing because he thought he was righteous, they were all rubbish. It was all rubble. It was all nothing in comparison to his knowledge of Christ, in comparison to the power that resurrected the Lord Jesus from the dead. Amen? And even his achievements, all that he had achieved, he considered as nothingness. Let's continue on the next verse. Do you have verse 8 there, Brother Dion? Philippians 3:8? Yes, you do. Thank you. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the what? Of the what? Knowledge. Knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Amen. There is no comparison, brothers and sisters, for the knowledge that we can attain from a one-on-one relationship with God. There is no comparison. And we should all energetically and with all concentration pursue to win the prize that God has called for every single one of us that are in the heavenly places. Amen? Amen. Every single one of us. Right now, the Apostle Paul is referring to games. He is referring to races. The Romans, they had these Olympic-style events, right? And the winner of these events, they were called up to the judges who were sitting in these throne-like places to be rewarded on the spot, you know, their prize, their gold medal, whatever they received. And he's referring to right now in the same manner, us receiving a reward from the Lord as we pursue on. The Apostle Paul may have been referring right now to the ultimate salvation of God's presence or to receiving the rewards that is found by the judgment seat of Christ one day when we will be with him. And this verse is mentioned in 2 Corinthians, is the final verse here tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. That each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, by no means, I just want to make it perfectly clear that I, myself, me, how do I say this? I am not sinless or blameless. I'm not a saint. And I rely on the blood of Jesus every single day to purify me and sanctify me. And I strive to be the best person that I can be every single day. Along with many of us, or all of us, we have done several things in our lifetime that hasn't been that great. But one thing I do strive for every single day is for the good to outweigh the bad. Because I want to receive the rewards from the Lord from all that I have done in the body. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever the Lord will have me do. But let me make something perfectly clear here tonight. It does not just naturally happen. There are some, we're going to use athletes right now as an example, right? There are some individuals who are naturally gifted with almost, how can I say, unimaginable strength and stamina and endurance. You know, they have like great lungs. They have, you know, great muscle, and it's just, you know, they're powerful beings. You know, they have like big strength. There are some of us who weren't born with all that muscle tone and weren't born with all that strength, you know, and but we have great brains. Some people have both. Anyhow, to those who were born physically gifted to be athletes, I think that we can all agree that for them to become, let's just say, professional at whatever sport it might be, they had to work at it. Did they not? They had to follow a diet. They had to lift weights. They had to work up their stamina, whether it's running or swimming or cycling, whatever the case might be, you know, get the heart rates up. They have to be very disciplined with the amount of sleep that they have to recover, you know, from the work that they do. And they strive to be the best at their field, even being physically gifted. Amen? The same applies to every single one of us. We must work it. We must strive. We must want. By all means, do not ease off from the gas pedal. Maintain fervent with the Lord. It requires diligence. And even going through all these, I'm going to say, victories like Paul has, it's still not over. There is still more. There's more prizes to be won. There is, by all means, run that race. Run that race with all that you have. Fervently. Don't let go. Amen?
Amen?
This is the word of the Lord tonight for us. I don't have a title here tonight for you guys. You guys could come up with a title here. Whatever you guys want. I want you guys to get the big picture. You get the big picture. All right? Stay fervent. Don't let go. Maintain the course and give it all you got. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we want to do every single thing that you have set out for us to do. We want, Lord, to finish the race. Lord, we don't want to leave nothing on the table. We want to do everything, Lord, that you would have us do here on earth. I pray, Lord, for right now, spiritual guidance for your people. I pray, Lord, right now for guidance of the Holy Spirit for those right now who are asking for guidance. For those, Lord, who are asking for a way. I pray, Lord, that you will visit every single life here tonight, and including the ones, Lord, watching right now online, visit their circumstances. I pray, Lord, that they will renew their mind. I pray, Lord, that they would renew themselves in you. May we take on, Lord, a new identity, one, Lord, that reflects you in every aspect of the way. We bless your holy name, Lord, for your strength, for your guidance, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us every step of the way. And Lord, we are able to overcome through your power that we rely on so very much. Thank you, Lord, for the drive and the will that we have to serve you, to please you. Use us, Lord, in a mighty way. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Now let us continue to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let's give thanks to the Lord for this offering. Father God, we do thank you for this offering, for you bless us in so many ways, big and small, and we thank you for every single one of those blessings. But we want to get this message out to other people, and so this offering helps to make that happen. So thank you so much for guiding your people to give, online and in the basket here today. We know that through our walk with you that there are times when we feel like we are just so beat up we can't go any further. But Lord, this is a race worth enduring, pushing through and not giving up, not saying, no, I can't do it anymore. We want to do it, Lord, because the more we accomplish, the closer we are to you and the more we do for you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and endurance. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.